This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to ENN.
Holy
which is
crap.
I know. It's delivered by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
And I'll have Mexican food, too.
And good evening to Don.
Well, I was a dishwasher. What am I going to do?
And good evening to myself.
Lift it up and show it to me.
And good evening to Don.
I want to punch this guy square in like the ear.
Didn't I have another one there, Anthony? I got a lot on my plate. I get confused sometimes. Well, guys, how are you, everyone?
I'm terrific.
Great.
You feeling good? You feeling good, Don? You ready for Rangers action tonight?
Rangers Maple Leafs.
By the way, this portion of the KSHO on 98.7 is brought to you by GEICO, the real value in car insurance. Not how much you save. Of course, it's not. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Knicks. Two losses at the Garden already in the first 15 games to the Orlando Magic. They have four wins overall. Half of those wins come at MSG over the New York Knicks. And Stephen A. Smith, oh, you guessed it, he's concerned with the Knicks' offensive problems.
I'm concerned. And the reason why is because Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett still don't use their right hand. I don't know why. Somebody needs to kidnap them and don't allow them to use their left. Do what you got to do to handcuff their left hand so they can learn that you're supposed to use both hands. You got two of them for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Kemba Walker, who has been a relative disappointment. Mm-hmm. And Fournier, I don't know what the hell has happened to him. He's fallen off. And I'm looking at Tom Thibodeau as well because the offense seems fairly predictable. And we all know what the reputation of Tom Thibodeau is. He's in an elite defensive mind. Offensively, he's a bit challenged at times. And when I'm looking at the personnel, they clearly don't have better personnel than Chicago, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Philly, and stuff like that. You got to play defense, and you got to get elevated level of production, and it ain't happening.
You know, the sky isn't falling, but it's cloudy.
Yeah, there's a chance of some thunderstorms here.
Yeah, It's not raining cats and dogs.
But we had a caller on hold that didn't get a chance to be on. It's like, hey, they're not the only team struggling. Look at where the Bucks are. You know, look at where Atlanta is. Okay.
Well, Bucks are where they are because they're hurt.
And Atlanta's off to, you know, listen, right. But, you know, just because there's a few other teams, just because Atlanta's doing it doesn't mean, well, it's okay for you to do it. Maybe Atlanta won't be able to right their ship either. I'd be concerned if I was Atlanta that they're under 500 and out of the playoffs right now.
Let's look at three teams that are out of the play-in, right? Out of the play-in. The Bucks, the Hawks, and the Pacers. Do you think that they're going to be in? So then you have to remove three that are in. So let's say the Cavaliers don't hold up what they're doing. Let's say they're out. Let's say the Hornets are out. Who else is coming out? Are the Knicks coming out? Because I think the Bucks, the Hawks, and the Pacers are going in. So it's the top 10 teams that kind of make the playoffs. Six without a play-in, 7, 8, 9, and 10 with a play-in.
But if you want to say that one team that I think for sure is going to be in will be Milwaukee.
Right.
You know, maybe the Pacers and the Hawks blow their chance too.
Also, can I just give a little bit of advice? You know, I know I'm a yo-yo, right? I know nothing about sports. But I just would like to offer this to the person you mentioned earlier, Don. Don't ever compare the NBA champions and the Knicks again, ever in your life. You can't say, look at where the Bucks are right now and look at where the Knicks are. You know how different the first 15 games are for a team that's trying to take the next step versus a team that has is a perennial now playoff and conference final team and won the championship last year? The first 30 games to the Bucks team this year is completely different.
I think Chris Middleton's missed the last 10 games with COVID protocol. I think it's 10 games. They have not had their roster other than Antetokounmpo.
By the
way, on the Bucks, they'll be in the top three.
They're for the record, they haven't even started playing yet, and they're and how far back are they on the Knicks?
Antetokounmpo.
A game.
Yep.
The Knicks started out fabulously, exceeding expectations. They're at 8-7. The Bucks haven't even started yet, and they're at 7-8. So these comparisons don't make sense. But
Bucks are 7-8, and Hawks are 7-9, and Pacers 6-10. I don't know if the Pacers will make it.
I don't know about the Pacers. I don't know about the Pacers. Stephen A. saying one big problem with this team is, and you mentioned this earlier, Michael, they don't have a real number one or number two, according to Stephen A.
The New York Knicks are devoid of a number one option. They're devoid of a number two option.
Mm.
They got number three options and lower all over their roster. It is a problem. I am not happy about it.
That is a tough pill to swallow if you're Julius Randle or a Julius Randle fan. But at this moment, there are certainly times, guys, when he doesn't look to be that guy. Now, I disagree. I think there are times when he definitely could be a number two. And it's hard to know what Randle's capable of being because they don't have a pure number one, right? Maybe he'd fit really well into that position. Because I don't know if you're, you know, if they had a top-tier, top-flight number one option, that changes defenses completely. And we don't know what Randle could be.
So let's say there are 30 teams, right, in the NBA.
That's a good way to go.
There are, okay? And so that means there are 30 number twos. If he's a number two, Julius Randle,
ooh, I like
he's
this
in
game.
The 16 to 20 spot as a number two. If he's a number three, he's one of the top five number threes in all of basketball. So can he be a number two? Yes, your number one better be great. But people that like envisioned him as a number one, I'm sorry. I know he had a great year. I know he loves New York. New Yorkers loved him, and he is averaging 19.8 points per game. He's not a number one. He's just not. I'm sorry. He's not.
Not of a championship team.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very good player, but he got figured out in the postseason.
He's a number one on this team.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Right.
That's all we're saying. It's not his fault. We're not trying to make him something that he's not, like the fans who think he's a number one are. He's a very good player, and I hope they keep him. And maybe they can build around him. But part of that build is to find two players that are better than him.
Remember when we talked about there was a period last year of what, 2-3 weeks, guys, we talked about Bradley Beal a lot?
Sure.
Right.
I mean, Bradley Beal is a number one on a team that is slightly more talented than the Knicks. I mean, they're slightly more talented than the Knicks, but they're not, you know, after Beal, they're not leaps and bounds better than the Knicks. And they're playing a completely different level of basketball right now. It changes everything. And, Michael, you talked about that, how basically you were willing to do whatever to get Bradley Beal because a player like that immediately changes a team.
Yep. And I got ripped for it.
And in Beal's case, they had a weird situation for a long time with John Wall and not allowing Beal to be the guy. Now they've moved forward. He is the guy. They moved Dinwiddie there and added some other little pieces, Montrezl Harrell, Caldwell Pope, Kyle Kuzma, these little pieces on the level of the players the Knicks have. And at least at this point, this is a team that's playing top basketball.
That team is put together very smartly. I don't know if they're going to collapse out of the playoffs. I think they're legitimate. Mm. They're a pretty good team.
Well, I don't think they're going to finish in first, but
no. They could finish fourth, though.
They could be this year's Knicks, right? Where they finish in fourth. And all, but just listen, I don't think the standings in the first 15 games of the year reflect how things are going to look. But you could bury yourself. You could put yourself in a tough spot. We already knew that finishing in fourth place was probably a pipe dream, even if they improved because of how good the conference is. Well, now slipping to fifth or sixth, that's one thing. Seventh or eighth, possibly out, that'd be quite another.
God, it's been a long time since we've just talked about a really consistently great New York sports team, huh? I mean, the Nets last year were really good.
Sure.
But there were stories around them, and they obviously disappointed in the end, and that's the problem with building a super team, right? You don't get excited about winning 55 games when you're a championship team, or you're supposed to be one. When was the last time that you guys, because I don't know if it was while I was here, were talking about just a great just an all-out great New York
probably
sports team.
When you got here. I think you got here at the tail end of the Rangers when they went to the final in 14, won the President's Trophy in 15. I think you got there for the end of the 15 season. So definitely they would be included in the conversation.
Well, this will upset people. All people want to do is pile on the Yankees, how terrible they are. They're consistently the best team in the city.
But that's true. But we never, and maybe that's our fault, it's never positive.
Like, right, but they're consistently the best team in the city.
But I think what Peter's talking about,
maybe
I'm wrong,
the Nets.
Is that where we're like actually riding a wave and we're talking about something positively all year long. The Yankees are great and consistently great, but yet the calls and the conversation is always, yeah, but this, yeah, but that. And so the feeling is they're a disappointment instead of celebrating the fact they're a consistent playoff team. I think most Yankee fans look at this last decade of Yankee baseball as a failure.
That's the thing. They're getting graded like the Nets every year.
Right, and the Nets, the same thing. Well, you know, a championship was the only thing that was going to look good, so anything they accomplished during the course of the year was okay, whatever. Jets and Giants, maybe the Giants in 16, Peter. They went 11-5, but I don't think anybody thought that team was winning a championship. Islanders have been very good, but we don't talk a lot of Islanders hockey, but I guess they would be in the conversation the last couple of years. But of the big ones, Mets, Yankees, Giants, Jets, Knicks – nope.
It's funny. In that time, the Mets have had some fun runs.
They've had fun runs, but the one team that every year you at least think at some point during the season they have a chance to win a title, every single year is the Yankees. That's it. The Giants, you don't feel like that. The Jets, the Knicks, the Nets, the last 2 years you feel that way. Islanders, although, I mean, as Don detailed earlier, they're having a rough go of the Rangers. The devil, I mean, where is it? It's just the Yankees, and because we grade them tougher, they're graded on an inverse curve. We can't appreciate the fact that every year they have a really good year.
But don't blame us. It's coming from their own fan base.
Yep, you're right.
I'm sorry. You know, last year there's a lot of great things that happened during the course of that season. Aaron Judge stayed healthy, had a great year. I thought you got a lot out of a few players that had pretty good seasons. You know, certainly Cole finished second in Cy Young, was a candidate for the Cy Young, but what was talked about? Why didn't this team win the division? They went out against the Red Sox in the first round of the wild card. So that's not looked upon as anything great, anything exciting. And I would say 90% of our phone calls and conversation were surrounded about the negativity and what's wrong with the Yankees. And people demand. So think about that, Michael. They've been the most consistent team, and yet I don't think any team has had their head coach and general manager under more fire at the same time than the Yankees have had.
You're right. And every other team in the city would take that run.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now. The Jets, on the other hand, not in a great situation. Here's Keyshawn on Keyshawn's Jay Williams. No. That's,
wow. That's his introduction music.
Wow. He likes that.
Yeah. He requests that he be brought in with that.
The Ice Picks music. No, this is Keyshawn saying the Jets don't have a plan.
There's no real true plan about which direction this franchise is headed in, and it starts with Joe Douglas and the ownership group, and then it goes down to Robert Saleh. And now you're telling me we trade for Joe Flacco as a veteran mid-season, but we start Mike White, who played great in a game and a quarter, or game in a series against the Indianapolis Colts, and he plays bad against the Bills, so you are no longer going to go with him because you want to get a look at Joe Flacco because the Miami Dolphins defense brings a lot of different pressures, and you want to get a look at everybody else because Joe Flacco is going to make everybody else all of a sudden play better. Everybody else is going to play better because Joe Flacco, who's 1,000 years old, is coming to help you in your offense in a week. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy. I agree with Key. It's crazy. It's crazy talk. So, I mean, does Bart disagree with Key too? Yeah, I mean, he took a Scud missile shot at Charlie Weiss. Does he disagree with Keyshawn?
The only problem I had with Bart is I don't know why he had to go so hard after Charlie Weiss.
Said the same guy who talked about Lapsan surgery, Peter.
No, I was just having some fun because we had talked about that. It was a discussion back in the day. It was talked about. I like the guy. He's got giant ties. I'm a fan. But I also understand he hasn't had a lot of success as a head coach. But I don't think that completely devalues the opinion that 99.9% of the city has about Flacco starting. But, you know, Bart wanted to take that tact. Whatever. I didn't think it was fair. Did you?
I thought it was a little harsh. I mean, just because the guy has failed at things. I mean, there are people that fail at things that really know things really well. But if Charlie Weiss, right, was totally against the grain and everybody else disagreed with him, then I guess you could take that shot, but he's in lockstep with everybody. Bart's the one that's not in lockstep with people. Keyshawn just said it was ridiculous. Everybody said it's ridiculous. Everybody, every columnist, everybody that you talk to, every radio host, it doesn't make sense.
Can't wait.
Charlie Weiss is not standing alone.
Can't wait.
That's the name of my 11th book.
Standing Alone?
No, no.
Can't
Charlie
wait.
Weiss. Charlie Weiss is not standing alone. It's a book about Charlie Weiss. I was fascinated by his time at Notre Dame.
He's a really nice man.
Is he?
Yeah.
And that's why you thought the first thing to say about him was the man with the failed lap band?
Oh, my. I can't
How
believe
How do you know Charlie
sudden,
Weiss,
now.
Charlie? Don.
He was
what?
With the Giants. I mean, do I know him personally? But it just seems like he's a nice
man.
Enough guy. I don't
How
know.
Do
maybe
you
he's
know?
Just an axe murderer. I don't know.
He could be
I've
human
heard
filth.
Good things.
He could be filth. You have no idea.
Maybe he could be. But you know what? I'm going to lean on him not being filth. All right?
You know
and
what?
The lap band thing was just the fun. Because we talked about it. Michael even brought it up years ago. About how it didn't take. So I thought maybe Michael would want to reminisce about a joke from 15 years ago.
No.
Apparently not.
You know what? I don't bring jokes back.
Wow, that's a strong
thing. Because the way the world is now, you could get canceled bringing jokes back. I won't
that's
do
That's true. Jokes are dead now. Now, by the way, we have a couple minutes left here. But I want to say, so I don't forget, that ENN tonight's delivered. ENN is delivered by DoorDash. Imagine a world where you didn't have to pay delivery fees. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. DoorDash. Michael, another question is.
You're a DoorDash guy, right?
Oh, I'm a big DoorDash guy.
Yep.
The question I have for you, Michael, are we going to find out whether Don has stones down there or just air?
Well, he's got 2 minutes and 5 seconds
That's
to make
right.
that decision.
And I'm going to gobble it all up.
Excuse me?
He's not.
That's right.
You know what? He's not making a pick. He was goading me into making one. He's gutless.
And he got you. You're putting 2 picks on the Patriots, 2 points on the Patriots,
yep.
6.5
Yep.
Points.
Well, but quite honestly, I took a look at the slate and I said to myself, if this was a Sunday game, it'd be a 3-point play. So the question is, do I believe that there's a Thursday night jinx? And force myself to use a 3-point play on a Sunday game I don't feel just because of some fugazi Thursday jinx? I think not, brother. Patriots covered a 6.5 It's my 1-2-3-point play.
Wow.
1-2-3-point play. 1-2-3-point play. 1-2-3-point play. 3-3-3-3-3-3-3
All right, okay. Wow, he delivered.
Those
I know
are gigantic nuggets.
Yeah, look at those stones.
Wow.
Pocket full of stones.
You know, some people have 2 of them. I've got 3
Oh, I didn't know that. You
sure.
learned something
That's an
new.
Issue.
Now, speaking of jinxes on important night games, on this day, back in 1985, the first of many horrible things happened to my Washington football franchise.
First and 10, Riggins, free flicker, back to Feisman. Feisman did a lot of trouble. And it was Lawrence Taylor who slammed Feisman to the ground at the 42-yard line. The blitz was on. That's not necessarily a good play to have called. And quickly, Lawrence Taylor was up. Saying Theismann is hurt, and I don't believe Lawrence Taylor would have reacted that way unless Theismann is really hurt.
By the way, Bryce Harper won the National League MVP.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Deserving.
Where were you guys for that moment? I know you remember.
I was in my living room, 1985. Couldn't believe it, and then get shredded in the second half by Jay Schrader.
I think I was watching on TV, too. I don't know where.
That was a disappointing end. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday night.
See you, everybody.
1-2-3 1-2-3
wow.
Point play.
3-3-3-3-3-3.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.